Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show. One in the books, two to go. It is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel as we've continued to chop it up. We were talking basketball before the break. We started with the hoop du jour that is the Boston Celtics. Then we were talking about coaches and where they rank. Greg Popovich, Brad Stevens, that kind of new generation up and coming. And then I got to tell you guys, the one drawback to giving any compliments to people in Boston and the Celtics is Brian Barrett, under our own umbrella, who is a huge Boston sports fan, walks out of the bathroom and says to me, "Hey, you know that Golden State regular season record, 73 wins? Yeah, get ready to see that bad boy broken next year, man. Celtics." I'm like, okay. Now I feel like a horse's ass for giving him any credit at all, because that's the kind of over-the-top ego you don't need.
That's just that die-hard blind,
man,
no matter what, right, love of your team, which is, okay, that's great that you, this is not going to happen.
So where are you? All right, we mentioned before the break, Steve Kerr. Mm-hmm. We talk about a guy like Brad Stevens that's literally overachieving with what's left in the cupboard based on who's hurt. And then you talk about, and we talked about Phil Jackson, but you talk about a Steve Kerr. He passed on the Knicks after it looked like that where he was going. He made the right choice. He inherited a Golden State Warriors team with talent. However, Mark Jackson couldn't get him over the hump. He came in, he got him over the hump, and now he's coaching a team, obviously, with Kevin Durant that has built a legacy for themselves to be considered a dynasty based on how they do in the next couple of years. How much credit do you give Kerr?
I don't give him a whole lot.
Really?
I don't. When you go to a team that already had these guys, and you got to give him some credit because Mark Jackson had essentially the same team, mm-hmm. and he comes in his first year and wins a championship. But do you think that Mark Jackson wouldn't have won? Do you think that this team wouldn't have gone as far that year under Mark Jackson that they did under Steve Kerr? The second part of that is when you look, when Steve Kerr was out, and Luke Walton was in, they didn't miss a beat. And again, it goes back to the fact that when you have some of the best players in the NBA on the same team, on the court, you and I could have gone and it could go and coach this team right now.
See, a lot of people think that way, but it goes back to what we were talking about Oklahoma City. We're talking about you can have all the talent in the world. If you don't have a system that that works, that's effective, that the players believe in, and you don't have that chemistry, it's tough to win. And I think that the players, to their credit, have bought into a system and they believe in their coaching staff to where the coaches follow Kerr's lead. As you mentioned, if Kerr's out, Luke Walton and others have proven they can keep the ship in the right direction. But the thing is, when you look at it, the reason why I don't think Mark Jackson may have won with that team is because he made the decision to play David Lee and leave Draymond Green on the bench. And I don't know how long he could have continued to get away with that. And if Draymond Green never gets that opportunity based on Steve Kerr, we may never be seeing the Draymond Green that we're seeing right now. That's been such a huge part of what the Warriors have been able to do. So that's my counterpoint to all that.
I mean, it's a good point. It's a really good point that you have to, as the coach, you have to make some of those decisions that make the team better. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll give you an example that Rockets fans can... Making Eric Gordon the sixth man instead of trying to force him into the shooting guard role, making Ryan Anderson come off the bench, putting PJ Tucker. So all of those moves make sense when you do them, when you see them, and when they work. And so, yeah, give Kerr credit for using Draymond Green. But, you know, like you said, the system, do you think Steve Kerr came up with this system? Or do you think that this was taking some from here and some from there?
Right, but that's what makes him a good coach is the fact he's taken from his time with Pop. He's taken his time from his time with Phil Jackson. He's taken what works and doesn't. And I think the biggest thing, because we always talk offense, defense.
And most coaches will.
Yeah, and all that, and strategy and all that. But I think the biggest thing that you take away that I really love what the league does when they mic up the coaches is you can get a little bit more insight into his style and communication. Because the one thing I go back to is the regular season game here where Steph Curry was awful. And he found a way to reach him by saying, hey, man, look, I know the stat sheet's going to show you like 1-for-11, but you took a couple of half-court shots at the end of quarters, and I think you're getting some really good looks. He goes, there's a reason why you are the shooter you are. Just keep doing what you're doing, and it's going to come around.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's an unsung part of what coaches do that can really be effective for his team, because otherwise he could have crapped all over Steph and gone, what are you doing tonight?
No, I mean, look, I'm not knocking Steve Kerr. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, though, at the end of the day, if you put Steve Kerr in the situation that Brad Stevens is in these playoffs – with that team, with the Celtics, do you think that they perform as well?
I mean, I think the easy observation is to say no, but I think that I would give Kerr the benefit of the doubt to at least say if there's a guy that can reach these players and get them to dig a little deeper and do some things, I think Kerr would fit the short list of guys that could try and get them to at least try it. But look, I'm not trying to discount anything Brad Stevens has done because we both have said I think he's the best young coach in the game.
Yeah.
And he's gotten them to do things that I'm not sure many people could.
And the other thing, I mean, just to put a Houston spin on this too, when you look at a guy like Mike D'Antoni, he's a guy that he has created this system. Now, he's probably taken bits and pieces from other things, but he's always, I mean, you can talk to people and they'll tell you, as far as offensive minds in basketball go, his is second to none. And so he can create a system where if he was gone for a certain, you know, spell, the defensive coach,
Jeff
Bezdelic, he could probably take over and run this team and use this system that's in place, similar to what Luke Walton did in Golden State.
To your example, I give you full credit on that one and compliment you for bringing up Mike D'Antoni, because here's a guy that's old school by age alone. You know, this, a lot of people said this was going to be the last step of his overall career, regardless if it worked out or not. And here's a guy that not only identifies with his players, has their respect because he's a great offensive coach, but also realizes his shortcomings enough to say, hey, I'm not a great defensive mind. Yeah. I'm going to bring a Bezdelic in, and I'm going to tell everybody right from day one,
he's the
he's the guy.
And you'll see him standing up on the sidelines when the Rockets are on defense. D'Antoni's sitting on the bench, and it's Jeff Bezdelic that's out there calling the defense and yelling at players and getting them in the right place.
And your other point, which has to go to what I was saying about Steve Kerr, too, is he's done some pretty tough things that people don't pay enough attention to. He sat down Ryan Anderson. He got him to understand, hey, man, whether you're hurt or not, this is a lineup that gives us a better chance to get off to the right start and win. I'm going to put P.J. Tucker in there. He's made some tough calls, like convincing Eric Gordon to be a sixth man, like when things aren't going well, realizing, hey, Chris Paul or James Harden, you may have to sit down and let the other guy get us in a better position, I'll bring you back. There's a lot of things that are kind of under the radar that Mike D'Antoni does that a lot of old school coaches wouldn't even attempt to do because they're dictators and it's their way or the highway. He's kind of that bridge hybrid coach, bridging the old school, new school. I love what he's been able to do.
But listening to both of you guys, interpersonal skills. It goes to show that just listening to both of y'all's points, interpersonal skills is just as important for a head coach as it is as being a good and great basketball mind. So if you're out there wondering why this particular player or former player has not got hired as a head coach, think about how well of an interpersonal guy he is, because he might be a great basketball mind, but he does not know how to communicate with young millionaires.
Mm-hmm. And to take it a step further from what you're saying, Nick, you have to be able to communicate with these guys, but they also have to respect you.
Yep.
Enter J.B. Bickerstaff. If you're out partying with the team, but the team doesn't respect you, they look at you as one of the guys, they're not going to listen to you in the huddle when you're trying to be a leader of these men and telling them what to do. Then they, I think you look at Ty Lue in Cleveland. Do you feel like he has the full respect 100% of that team? I don't feel like that. I feel like that everyone will listen to him, but if LeBron walks on the court and says, yo, we're not running that, you give me the ball, that's what's going to happen. Because LeBron,
I was going to say, it's pretty easy.
If you ask basketball minds,
who's running the Cavaliers?
LeBron James.
Absolutely right. Now, if I ask the same question, who's running the Spurs?
Pop.
Yep. Who's running the Celtics?
Yeah, Brad Stevens. Who runs the Rockets? It's D'Antoni.
Mike D'Antoni.
And you wouldn't have said that before. You would have said James Harden. And he pitching his fit and getting his players and running them out of town and this, that, the other. It's not the case anymore.
Or Chris Paul, who was the coach of the Clippers in a lot of ways. And people said, regardless of what Doc said, when you were on the floor, you were under the wrath of Chris Paul. If you're doing well, you're going to get the ball. If you're not, you're going to get an earful from Chris Paul. He's been able to mesh all those personalities together and still maintain the respect of the team so that they listen to him and follow him. I know people are going to give you Dwayne Casey and they're going to give you Brad Stevens and they're going to give you Quinn Snyder. But that's why I think D'Antoni deserves to get his share of votes for Coach of the Year and possibly win it 2 years in a row, because he took a superstar Hall of Fame point guard and made it work with arguably the best offensive point guard in the game, James Harden, got those egos to mesh.
Couple of texts real quick. Somebody said, in my opinion, Draymond Green wouldn't have developed to what he was or what he has become if it weren't for Coach Mark Jackson. And then somebody wanted to know, couldn't Houston steal Kawhi from the Spurs?
No.
Not happen.
But here's but was there a beef between Mark Jackson and Draymond Green?
I don't know if there was a beef, but there was a firmly rooted tension, because Draymond felt he should be playing in front of David Lee, or at least getting minutes, and he wasn't getting them.
Something I want to talk next. Okay. So Blake asked our thoughts on Trevor Bauer insinuating that the Astros pitching staff is cheating. I want to get to that.
Let's get to some spin rate and bubblegum and let's discuss that kind of talk. All right, baseball's next, but we'll continue to roll on. Hey, if you want to call, be part of the show, please do. We'll get you in as soon as we can. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, special shout out to my man Boardy. Brian Boardman from the NBA is here in town covering the series, the Rockets and the Jazz, and he has graced us with his presence, so I appreciate him stopping in.
Good to see you. What does he do?
He basically is the man with a plan for the broadcasting, and there's different people within the department of broadcasting that get assigned a different series. Boardy's the guy that you will see that looks really important every time there's a replay, because he's the guy right dead center of every scorer's table.
Okay.
That basically he's basically the guy with the light up flashlights on the runway of the airport. He's directing the officials on replays, when they can come back from commercial break, when the commercials are over with the networks. He's coordinating everything.
Okay. So he also picks the talent?
No, I wouldn't go that far. I'm not giving him that much credit.
I'm saying he doesn't assign people, like he didn't pick Mikhail to do the Celtics
networks
game.
Actually picked the announcing teams and stuff.
That was, you know, I love Coach. He's a friend of the show, and he's. But having Mikhail do a Celtics game is like having Herb Street do an Ohio State Buckeyes game. I didn't feel like, though, I will say in his defense, I thought he did really good. There wasn't too much of a Celtics slant with Mikhail.
Well, when you're a potential candidate to coach the Bucks next year, you probably have enough incentives to keep it middle of the road, as opposed to being a Celtics homer.
But I will say that I was paying attention closely, because I was like, man, that's a bad look.
Would you have busted his balls when he came on the show the next time?
Absolutely.
I would have loved to have heard that.
If
would have been must see radio.
If I felt like he was not being impartial, if I felt like there was a foul where he was like, oh yeah, I could see where, and it was obvious. But if I felt like he was just being, you know, kind of a Celtics homer, yeah, I would. I mean, dude, how many people have I called out when I said I would? But
four.
But fortunately, Coach was, I thought he was very down the middle I thought when it looked like you know, something was not right for the Celtics, he would point that out. But when something wasn't right for the Sixers, he would point that out. He was very complimentary of both teams. So, yeah, I thought he did a good job. I thought he was really impartial, which is scary because when you see that, it'd be like...
Tommy Heinsohn, who's the ultimate homer.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're right. I mean, look... You have ties for a reason. People have been loyal to you over the years. He's still best friends with Danny Ainge. He doesn't hide that.
Right.
So that it gives him more of a challenge trying to make sure he stays objective.
But I thought he did a really good job.
Well, we'll make sure we get him on so you can tell him that.
Okay.
Chuck wants to get in here before we change the topic up here. NBA coaches is still on the board. Chuck, what's up?
What's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, man?
Chucky!
I love this conversation about coaches because they're so underrated. But one thing I'd like to say, too, is if you look at most of these coaches, one thing they all have in common, too, and this is kind of something that's going to suck for Joel, but their general manager always seems to be proactive in getting them talent. The Celtics, we say, don't have any talent. But, my God, they got athletes all over the court. And that goes to Danny Ainge. Phil Jackson, they finally ran his course in Chicago because Jerry Krause got too much of an ego, you know. But and Mark Jackson out of Golden State wasn't necessarily the players as much as it was. Mark Jackson didn't get along with anybody in the front office. So, I mean, we got all these things. But, I mean, great coaches need decent general managers to supply them. That's all I got to say, boys. Have a good.
He brings up a good point because, you know, Mark Jackson's demise was not only player-related. He didn't trust anybody, and he had an assistant that he didn't trust. And he literally was the guy went in a meeting with the coaches. He went to use the restroom, and he was literally then trying to find out if the guy could be trusted or not. And the story goes that they found his phone, and it was recording the conversations amongst the coaching staff, and that was the end of it. But, you know, you hear these different stories. I think the interesting thing, because I think what Chuck was implying too, was Daryl Morey. And Daryl Morey does a hell of a job, right? And we said this. For as much as he did to bring in Chris Paul, the bigger things were the unsung moves of P.J. Tucker and Luke Mbamute. But the one thing that I think didn't work, that I think that he learned from his Kevin McHale experiment, which is he picked all but one assistant coach for McHale. And when we start talking about chemistry and trust in a coaching staff, the head coach has a team within a team of his assistants. He's got to be able to trust them all. When Kelvin Sampson is one of your top assistants, and Kelvin Sampson was interviewing for the same head coaching job that you were, and other guys come from other staff, it's hard to go into that foxhole and say, I know unequivocally he's got my back.
Yeah, it makes it weird.
Yeah.
It does. That was such a weird thing. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's a different dynamic. And now notice... He didn't do that the second time around.
Well, he learned.
Yeah. So you mentioned Bezdelic.
Everybody's got to get better. Everybody's got to learn.
You mentioned Bezdelic and D'Antoni picked his own staff, Roy Rogers. So he was able to go out and get the guys that he wanted, not the guys the general manager picked. The general manager worries about the talent in that regard.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get to this Trevor Bauer thing.
Let's do it.
Because I don't want to run out of time either. So there was a tweet that went out by Blaze4551 or whatever. He said, are Astros doctoring baseballs or throwing spitballs? Look at spin rates of Verlander, Cole, and Morton increased dramatically pitching in Astros uniform. They probably using a substance or like chewing gum like Morton did like postseason. To which some Kyle Bodie said, chewing gum. Also, spitballs would reduce spin theoretically. Anyway, what a weird coincidence you have discovered. To which Trevor Bauer took those tweets and just sent out a bunch of faces, like the emoji. And then he decided to respond and said, if only there was just a really quick way to increase spin rate. Like, what if you could trade for a player knowing that you could bump his spin rate a couple hundred RPMs overnight? Imagine the steals you'd get on the trade market. If only that existed. Now, he's implying that, obviously, he's saying somewhat tongue-in-cheek that the Astros are cheating, that these pitchers are coming to the Astros, like Charlie Morton is coming to the Astros, and his spin rate is, quote-unquote, increasing. I will say I was very surprised that Charlie Morton can throw 98. I'm not going to lie to you about that one bit. But Morton, let's leave him out for a minute. Cole, right? Like his he seems to be pitching way better than he did when he was in Pittsburgh. Here's the deal, and I'll say this first, and then we'll get into more of this, because Lance McCullers responded to Trevor Bauer directly, and
oh, it was really? Amazing. I didn't see that.
It was amazing. And then I'll read you what Molly Knight was saying to Trevor Bauer as well. But here's the thing. You can. It's been documented, Lance McCullers, the spin rate on his curveball is off the charts. Mm-hmm. And if I have a technique that I've learned or perfected, guess what I can do then? I can teach it to Verlander. Yeah. I can teach it to Charlie Morton. I can teach it to everybody that's on this Garrett team Cole. That wants to throw this curveball or get the spin rate that I'm getting and share my wisdom. That's what teams do. That's what pitching coaches do. So don't discount the fact that maybe the coaching staff knows what the hell they're doing and has something to do with that. Am I saying that everybody's squeaky clean and not cheating? Absolutely not, because it happens. I mean, remember Charlie Morton with the chewing gum, and they made him throw it out because he was using the tack a little bit. So it can happen. But this is what Lance McCullers responded. He said, jealousy isn't a good look on you, my man. You have great stuff and have worked hard for it like the rest of us. No need for this. I will ask, though, because my spin rate and spin axis on my four seam is ass. So he responded and just basically said, look, the spin rate on my four seamer is not good. So I don't know where you're getting this, but I'll ask around and see.
Here's the other thing. You want to talk?
Trevor Bauer responded, not jealous, my friend. Promise you that. I respect what y'all are doing over there. My gripe is with the hypocrisy of MLB for selectively enforcing rules when it suits them.
No.
I don't know what he sees there.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The other part of this entire thing is, and you say coaching staff. That's where I go, because I think Brent Strom, and you remember what Keuchel said, the minute that they won it, he would not be the pitcher that he is and has come turned out to be without Brent Strom. And Verlander, a guy who, for all of his greatness, came over from the Tigers, and he was struggling, and he wasn't the same pitcher, and he found it again, and he has come out and vocally said, Brent Strom has made a huge difference. And then the other thing is, like you said, to be able to police themselves. When Ken Giles, before you mentioned the stats of what he's been lately, when he was struggling, who took him aside and worked on his delivery? Justin Verlander?
Yep.
Those are things where you know it's about the team, the coaching staff, and the overall.
Well, think about what you've got, guys. I mean, Chris Devinsky probably has the best circle change in baseball.
Yep.
So you can, if you want to learn a changeup, you can go learn it from Chris Devinsky. Lance McCullers has the best curveball in baseball. If you want to go learn to perfect your curveball, you can go to Lance McCullers. Dallas Keuchel, I mean, Ken Giles with a slide. There's you have this wealth of knowledge from guys that are really good at specific things when it comes to pitching that you can go and pick their brain. There's this other thing that's going on in baseball where guys are starting to hit better. Guys are hitting more home runs, and it's because of launch angle, because somebody figured out that if you can get the right launch angle and not worry about anything else, the ball will go further and you'll hit better. Who's to say that doesn't exist with pitching as well? I just think it's unfair to just blanketly say that the Astros are cheating. I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying that it's not as overt as Trevor Bauer is trying to say. But I also want to tell you this. If you're a homeowner, I want you to listen to me, man. Listen closely, because R22 Freon is going away. And you're like, okay, that means nothing to me. Well, it should, because we live in Houston and you need your AC to work. R22 Freon is being phased out. In less than 2 years, you will no longer be able to purchase it. So that means that in a couple of years, when your AC quits working in the middle of summer, you're going to be hot. That's why I want you to call the folks at Courtesy Air Conditioning and Heating. Let them get out there and help you. Tom, Brad, and his crew of certified technicians at Courtesy AC, they can come out, they can upgrade or replace your old unit and fit it for the new requirements and help you save money in the process. And that's the thing that I like about Courtesy AC. They're not going to come out and just tell you you need to upgrade your air conditioning if it doesn't need to be upgraded or replaced. If you just need the upgrade, they're going to do that for you. If you do need a replacement, they're going to let you know. They're going to help you save money in that process. They don't sell you stuff you don't need. They don't tell you to replace stuff if you don't need to. But R22 Freon is going away, so you need to be prepared for that. And even if you do have a new system, it's time to get it serviced before July and August and September get here and it breaks down on you. So call Courtesy AC today. 713-278-9933 is the number. 713-278-9933. Or find out more information about this R22 Freon upgrade online at CourtesyACOnline.com.
Well, hello! To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the big show right here on ESPN 97.5. Oh, my God. I wish these cameras in here gave you a full 360 view of the room.
I really want to turn one. You think Brandon will get mad if
Yes, he will.
He will?
What if I just
turn camera two since all it does is show my big, fat double chin?
I think he'll be in
turn
here
it and point
quicker
it to
than
the
you
couch.
Think.
You think so?
The dude sleeps like a poster child for spina bifida. I mean, seriously, we're talking about spin rates. I'm talking about a spine angle right now. AJ is in here on the couch attempting to sleep.
Well, he's had a rough day. He's meditating. He's not sleeping. Remember, have you never listened to their show?
No.
He doesn't meditate. I mean, he doesn't
Does
take
he ever
naps.
Say anything about me?
He's
I don't
meditating.
Listen.
No?
Okay. No.
He never mentions you. In fact, you never come up.
No.
Nor does this show or how awesome this big show is.
That's right.
And the rest of the lineup. All right. Anyways, back to this Trevor Bauer story.
Mm-hmm.
So Trevor did his thing. Lance McCullers come out and said, hey, yo, listen, Petty Riley. Chill out. You look jealous over there. Now, Molly Knight tweeted to him and said, all right, Trevor, let's hear how they're cheating. You obviously want to tell us. He said, hi, Molly. She said, hey, Trevor, let's hear it. I'm interested. He said, I'm sure you are. I'm sure a lot of people are. Everything will come out in due time. Be patient. To which she responded, will it be a piece in the Players Tribune or more of a live tweet kind of thing? I need to prepare myself emotionally. He said, haven't decided yet. What do you suggest? What do you think would make the most people mad, LOL? That would be consistent with my brand, apparently. She said, anything that drags Verlander into it, he gets the most mad, so probably Twitter. Like, they're just out. Just, that's so weird. Now, Bregman has responded.
Now, that's shocking. Bregman on Twitter?
What? Yeah, AJ's boy.
Yeah.
Has responded and said, relax, Tyler. Those World Series balls spin a little different.
Ouch.
Wow.
What's the next one going to be? Can you, the balls are okay, but I've been working on my drone. Can you help me?
Yeah, exactly.
Since he got his fingers caught.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
Now, who, Molly Knight, she is just on Twitter or is she a columnist?
So that's what, when I was telling AJ about it when you weren't in here, because he said the same thing, who is Molly Knight? And it's the same thing I said. And apparently, here's her bio on Twitter.
Okay.
It says, journalist, author of New York Times bestseller, The Best Team Money Can Buy, food, dogs. Hmm. So the book is The Best Team Money Can Buy, The Los Angeles Dodgers Wild Struggle to Build a Baseball Powerhouse by Molly Knight.
Okay. So where are
and
you?
And I know what the next question you and Nick both have for me.
No,
and
I'm not going to do it.
I know what you guys all want to know. Yeah, she's pretty hot. So I know that's where. I mean, let's.
I wasn't going to ask. I was already Googling.
You was all in the Google machine. I can't see her chest, AJ. It's just the headshot. I'll go to her Instagram. I'll do the homework. Fine.
Twist your arm, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's injecting herself, which, by the way, super smart of her to do that to sell some books.
Absolutely. Everybody's trying to get their 15 seconds in their pub and their run and whatever financial
gain they
can get.
She looks familiar. I mean, she almost looks... I feel like I've seen her like in a movie or something.
I'll tell you who she looks like.
Who?
It used to be Stacey Dales Schumann when she was a WNBAer and then an announcer. But on the NFL Network now, Stacey Dales looks a hell of a lot like her.
Does she?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can't place where I've seen her before, but she does look familiar. Anyways, so that's the latest on that, and I don't know.
I think haters are going to hate, man. I mean, I said this. Corey Kluber, I think a week or so ago, was knee-deep in this, and it might have been with Verlander, where they were insinuating without actually calling out names, but that the Astros' entire pitching staff is cheating and everything else. I mean, I think that McCullers handled it the right way. You knew Bregman was going to throw his 2 cents in anyway.
Yeah. I remember this back in 86 when everybody's saying that Mike Scott was scuffing the ball when his split finger was just unhittable. Sometimes it happens. Am I saying that Mike Scott didn't scuff the ball? No. Am I saying that the Astros staff maybe doesn't get a little edge every once in a while? No. But you know what? Most guys in baseball do.
Look, it's common practice right now when you go around the league, and I think that instead of just focusing on the Astros, what Trevor Bauer should be doing is looking at how many guys have pine tar pretty much visible on every camera in the stadium, somewhere on their glove, on the brim of their hat, on the back of their hat. They're looking for every competitive advantage they can get.
Also, Trevor, learn how to cheat better, bro. Like, just get better at cheating. Now, somebody texted this, and I don't know this to be true. I'm going to have to look it up. Morton had a higher RPM this season before he joined the Astros. I have to look it up. If I cared more, I would, but it just smacks of pettiness.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think jealousy, I think, yeah. Petty jealousy is exactly what we're speaking about here. So, you know, get over yourself and at the same time win ball games and don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about what the competition's doing.
That's right. Hey, one thing we need to come up with is a theme for tomorrow's Way Back Wednesday.
Oh, that's right.
And somebody suggested tomorrow's theme for Way Back Wednesday, top songs in each music genre. So, but isn't there a lot of genres?
Yeah, I don't need
like,
all that.
We could do classical.
That'll go over like a fart in church.
You don't want to like Bach's Fifth Symphony?
Nope.
No, is it Beethoven?
Beethoven's Fifth Symphony?
Well,
yeah,
whatever.
That would be. Yeah,
whatever. We could do that, and then we could do.
You're so versed in your classical, aren't you?
I should be, since that's how I started in radio. You don't remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that story.
All right, don't make me tell it again.
No, I'm trying not to.
Yeah, I just don't know, though. We do have to come up with a theme. Are we just going to pick another year?
Well, either that or you guys can suggest, and before the end of the show, we'll pick a topic.
If not, let's just do 97.
Where did that come from?
Because I was listening to Biggie's Hypnotize, and I think that's the year it came out.
Well, then let's not. Remember last time Nick was going to have an advantage? You kiboshed and poo-pooed
on
that.
Didn't he die in 96, though? Biggie?
That's like the release date, Nick. You'd have to call him on a technicality.
I don't think so.
By the way, but before we get off the subject of any more baseball, and we don't have to, but we were talking about pitchers, but here in the oddity, did you see what the Dodgers announced yesterday?
No.
Corey Seager.
Yes.
Their phenom shortstop.
Ugh.
Shortstop is out for the year because he needs Tommy John surgery.
Yeah. It's
weird.
A weird deal. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pitcher's injury, yet Corey Seager started to experience some issues in spring training, thought he could get through it, said last weekend he had a few bad throws. It started to irritate him. They went and did some tests. Now an MRI shows he's going to need major surgery and be out for the year.
Yeah, and to the texter asking about Celtics and Philly and all that, we spent like 2 segments on that. Go back to Podcast Arena, hour number one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Or early hour number two, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. But we did the coaching part of it for hour number two.
We're not going back again.
Right. Corey, we see you. We'll get you next in terms of baseball cheating, and we'll continue to roll on. If there's something you have on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Houston Sports Talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today by searching ESPN Houston in your app store.
Don't nobody want it. We hella hot at the moment. We're coming for all opponents. It feel incredible, don't it? It really ain't a thing. Who get them crazy going? Orangutan.
Look at them copping me, trying to get top of the boss with a lot of mediocrity. Stalking the properties, want to get off of my monopoly. Tell me who is the one they call Socrates.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You know what?
Come on.
Let me just tell you.
You don't
if that video went out, it
then nobody
could be,
want none. Yeah, it went out.
There are going to be listeners that say, wow, Barry, you really don't have any rhythm.
I was doing
when
the prep.
Dance.
I was doing the prep, and Joel was looking at me like I was a weirdo because that was a dance we did as a kid. And most people know what the prep is if you're around my age and you are cool. So, which was better than the dance you did. What was that called?
I know you don't know what the prep is Monday through Friday. First of all,
what are you talking
here's
about?
Here's the thing.
What? No. What did that mean? I know you don't know what the prep is Monday through Friday.
I don't see you anymore.
Because we don't prep, Joe. We sit there and talk mess for 30 minutes. Nick, how much prep do we actually do in our prep meetings?
We get some done, but not much.
About 5 minutes worth. It takes us 5 minutes to actually go over.
I'm the one that does all the hard work. You guys are bigger.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
You're
bigger. No, now
what did
you're
you
out
call
of line.
That dance
you
that
stop
I did?
Lying.
What, I
jackhammer?
No, that was, someone said you should call it the something or other, and I was like, yeah, because that's realistically... That's a
no Barry came up with a name. It was like the Pac-Man, I guess, or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
I called it the Pac-Man. Yeah,
that's ridiculous. The people that can, God, he really dances like that. Yeah, I really do. And then I do math problems while I watch the business channel. No, doesn't happen that way. Thank you. I'm gonna get Corey in here real quick.
Yeah, let's take Corey's call.
Corey, what's up? Talks about baseball cheating. What's up, Corey?
Hey, what's going on, you Kaiser Soze mother lovers?
There you go.
What?
There you go.
It's a Usual Suspect reference, Barry.
Oh.
There you go. So it doesn't matter if it's baseball, football, racquetball, handball. It don't matter. There are only three rules and three rules only to cheating. Rule number one, if you're not cheating, you ain't trying hard enough. Rule number two, it's only illegal if you get caught. Rule number three, if you do get caught, have a drink like Bill Belichick and laugh at all the people you did cheat, you'll feel better about yourself in the morning. And like that, I'm gone. I'll hang up and listen.
I didn't know Mike had a son.
Yeah, he was more proud of that call.
But he was quick, concise, and then he checked himself out.
Corey just treated this whole thing like the Rome show.
Yeah. He definitely has cheated a few times in his life.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
Corey also a professional cheater. If you're married to Corey, I apologize. I'm sorry that Corey has cheated on you. But he sounds like a guy that...
We appreciated the passion, though.
Oh, yeah.
I did, absolutely.
He brought it, and it was concise, too. It wasn't drawn out and, you know, beating a dead horse on a certain issue. He just brought it and got off.
Yeah,
like, it was fine.
I feel like the references... What was that? Is that from some movie?
Kaiser Soze, he referenced from The Usual Suspects.
Yeah, I got that. But he said, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, and it's only cheating if you get caught. I used to hear that all the time on Jim Rome. And then that's why I was like, oh, this is a Jim Rome call. Because then at the end he goes, and with that, I'm out. And right. I was like, rack him.
Yeah.
I was at a very Jim Rome feel to it, which.
That's hip hop. I mean, that's hip radio. That's current.
Why are you hating on Jim Rome?
All you got to do is ruffle some papers.
You weren't a Jim Rome fan?
No, I wasn't a clone. No.
Really?
I listened because it was. On our station when we were in middays, it was on 610. So when the Rockets were on 610, I listened, but I wasn't a huge fan.
This was back when I was I was working at an apartment complex doing make readies. And I would, I was a painter. So I would paint, like people would move out and I would go in and paint the apartment. It was my job. And I would work all hours of the day and night, but I would just sit there and listen to Jim Rome during the day all day long and loved it. I never went to like a tour stop, because I know the
other one at Minute Maid was pretty huge.
It was, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, it was big. I never went to a tour stop or anything, but I did enjoy it. And then there was this website that spun off of it called Stucknut. Do you remember Stucknut was an advertiser on the Jim Rome show?
I have no idea.
Yeah, and then that launched a website, and I used to get on there and troll people and they would it would just be nothing but internet trolls just talking junk to each other, and it was pretty funny. But yeah, I think stucknut.com still exists if you go to it. Anyways, wow. I enjoyed it, but that was a very Rome call.
But he still brought it. I give him credit for that.
He did. I'm not knocking him. Somebody said Colin McHugh has now jumped in on the Bauer thing. Goodness gracious. It's just all hands on deck.
It's never ending.
No. Somebody said since you are both married to Latinas, mm-hmm. and Nick loves Latina women, mm-hmm. he said big Latina women, but I didn't want to throw that in there.
You could have thrown it in there.
How about Tejano way back Wednesday? And it would just be 24 Selena songs. Let's be real. She didn't have that many hits.
I appreciate the thought that he put into it. I just don't know about playing Tejano music for 3 hours.
I'm going to go with that, Nick. I'm glad you said it, but yeah, I'm going with it.
Somebody wanted hair metal. Tongue Dark Chris said hair metal.
Did we do something like that?
We've done.
We kind of have, but we're going to have to start recycling some of it. I mean, we're running out of ideas.
I mean, the good thing is when we start doing years, at least we know that there's plenty of years to get to get us through a 52-week schedule.
Yeah.
So it's something to be considered.
I will say, I think I'm going to throw out a Twitter poll to see who wins tomorrow.
Because this verbal
back and forth is too traumatizing for me. I go home and cry at night because of you two. So we're just going to let the people vote.
The good news is you cry in your beer, so you're okay.
I do cry when I
drink. You're just a big Virginia, is what it is.
Massive Virginia? Yeah. Is that what you're saying right now?
You're going to cry.
You know what camera angle is on right now?
Don't care.
Yeah.
The double chin camera angle?
The Cavalier.
You know what? Why don't you put the camera angle on yourself there?
Yeah, Brandon told me to do that.
Yeah.
But we have too.
And don't think I won't snitch if you don't.
Snitch?
Let's see your stupid face for a minute on this stream. I almost cursed the stream.
Wouldn't be your first or your last time.
No.
On air or on stream.
No, I wouldn't be.
I'm just trying to get Joel fired up so he can drop another a-hole on the air.
Oh, my goodness.
Again, I learned from the best. When Barry taught me what you can get away with around here, I just started letting them fly.
Here's a question that we can ask AJ, too, since he's still in here. He might pass out.
He's busy trying to get spinal surgery lined up.
He's gone. How long do you think till David Gal hires Adam Clanton?
Been there, done that.
Yeah, he was here.
Yep.
And did he get let go or did he quit?
Him and Wessling at the same time.
That's right.
Because they didn't get along.
They were,
I don't know what the reason is. I'm not going to speculate.
I heard they didn't get along.
They fought like we did or do.
I thought.
So we have to stop fighting.
No, I think when we first got started, we had issues, but nothing like that. Because I've heard like it was pretty serious.
Yeah. There was no love lost. Like when you celebrated.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Wessling
and you know him.
He's one of my mentors in comedy and a friend. AJ introduced me to him when they were working together, and I'm pretty sure that he bought all the liquor and just threw it down.
That's why Lance is hungover.
Yeah, could be.
And you know what, Nick, the old saying goes about like cats had 9 lives.
Yeah,
he's pretty much used up his.
Yeah, I mean, there's always so many radio stations in the market.
KPRC,
so. And TV.
KPRC, 610, 790, 1560. I was like, I'm sure he could go work with Lisa, channel 11.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
Our boy Nuno at 13, maybe?
Nuno's a good guy.
Nuno's a great guy, which is why that's not going to happen.
Raheel at 39.
No, I got a text from Raheel last night, too. I don't think that's happening either.
Man, right. Sometimes you make that
a good
bid,
run, I guess,
lie.
If you've been through that many media outlets in the city. Look, that's a decent
2004?
Run.
2004? That's how long he's been around? 2004?
I don't know.
14 years is a long run.
It's a great run.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got 1 hour to go in the big show. I've got plenty more to tell you about. In terms of your security at your house, I have to tell you about my friends at Hawk Security. They are really concerned with what you're concerned about. And at the end of the day, if you're a father like me, you got children, you've got a wife, you've got a house. And those are the things that you are responsible for protecting. That's where Hawk Security can come in and give you peace of mind because you know your family and your home is protected. You owe it to yourself to call them. Check them out, 281-947-HAWK. 281-947-HAWK. They can walk you through their 24/7 full service service home security company that's dedicated to protecting what matters most to you. Hawk Security specializes in burglary, intrusion detection, video surveillance, life safety, and of course, fire detection as well. Take advantage of the special offer. The first 100 people that call in and mention promo code Nate, you'll get a free doorbell camera and a free installation with the GoHawk Smart Home Package. Savings of over $400. Hey, who doesn't want to save $400 when you're trying to protect your family? 281-947-HAWK. First 100 callers, you'll get part of that deal and get that $400 package free. 281-947-4295. With Hawk Security, you get real-time alerts. You can use your app on your phone to set your not only set your alarm, but you can also use it to see who's at your door with those cameras. You don't have to get up. You don't have to move a muscle. In fact, you don't even have to be at home. Stop wasting time. Call them now. 281-947-4295. That's 281-947-HAWK. Mention Nate and get in on that special offer today. Protect what matters most. Hawk Security, hawksecurity.com.
ESPN 97.5.